All right. Good morning. Good to see each one of you this morning. Hope you've had a good Easter week. Turn in our Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. Just a page or so back from our reading this morning. Matthew 26. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin. Father, we come before you this morning rejoicing the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, ready to meditate on its meaning, its significance for our lives, for the human race, in these years following it. We thank you for what you accomplished on the cross and for what you accomplished in the resurrection. We ask now that by your Holy Spirit you would give us a vision of you that will transform us, make us into the image of our risen Savior. We ask for the Spirit's help. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start out this morning by giving us the point I want us to get, and then we'll look at the text. The point I want us to see this morning is that the resurrection of Jesus empowers us to face our difficulties with courage and redemptive purpose. Matthew 26, we'll read from verse 36. It's a familiar story we might have expected on Good Friday. Verse 36 begins, "Then Jesus went with them, the disciples, to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" In Holy Week, Passion Week, we remember that God gave Jesus a cup of death to drink. Jesus didn't want to drink it. We know that he did, but we also know that he didn't. "If it be possible, let this cup pass." But he submitted to the Father's will. And then he drank it. He didn't take a few sullen sips and then shove the cup away. He didn't say, "There, I drank it. You happy now?" No, he drank it full and deep. He entered into that experience fully. He tilted the cup right back. He tapped every last drop out of the cup. We see this throughout the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, where he didn't engage with others, for instance with Herod. It was a deliberate choice made for a good reason, usually unbelief. Jesus didn't let himself become completely wrapped up in himself. He, of course, maintained his dignity as much as possible. He stood up for himself. We see that with Pilate. And he attended to his own needs. He says, I thirst. But we also see him engaging with others in defending the truth. We see that with Pilate. In attending to his relationships, we have a moment at Caiaphas' house where he connects with Peter. We see later that he addresses his mother Mary and her well-being, and then we see later his addressing his relationship with God. Why have you forsaken me? We also see him on the cross ministering to others. He says, Father, forgive them. We saw on Good Friday the way he ministered to the criminal on the cross next to him. Jesus enters on this work with courageous determination to do the work that God had set out for him to do. And when he is done, John 19:30, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, sometimes God gives us cups to drink. Our deaths are rarely as painful as Jesus' death on the cross, certainly never so heavy spiritually. But it is not unusual for God, in his sovereign wisdom, to bring into our lives a cup which we must drink. My message to us today is simple. The cup that God gives, drink it. Drink it deep. Jim Elliot, the 20th century missionary martyr, captured this concept beautifully when he said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. In other words, the cup that God gives, drink it. Drink it deep. Enter into that experience fully. Tilt the cup right back. Tap every last drop out of the cup. Wherever you are, be all there. That's what Jesus did. Not because it was easy. Not because it was fun. Not because it was glamorous. It was none of those things. It was agony. But it was his cup to drink. And he drank deep. We could aptly apply Paul's words here in Colossians 3. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Right? Jesus did the cross heartily, as for the Lord. And so must we. There's work to be done on this cross. Do this dying you are called to do with all your heart.
Right, see, our story doesn't start once this is over. Like,
later. It doesn't start once we sort all this out. It doesn't wait to start until we've got all our ducks in a row. This is our story. This cup, the one that God has called you to drink today, this is your story. The camera is rolling. This is going to air live.
So make the most of your dying. Die well.
Enter into this work with verve, with energy, with gusto, not because we're weirdos who love pain, but because this is the life to which we are called. We are called to follow our master in his dying. So shake off your timidity, have courage, be manful. And here I don't mean men as opposed to women, but I mean adults as opposed to children. Stand up, throw your shoulders back, set your eyes on the prize, and drink the cup that God has given you. Drink. Drink it deep. Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation that you believe to be the will of God. Now, question. Where does this courage, the courage to do this, where does it come from? And my answer today is, he lives, and so shall I. He lives, and so shall I. I've told you many times, we don't have to survive. Right? I can tell you how this story is going to end. We don't make it. We all die. We all follow Jesus to death. But what I want to do now is to show you in Jesus' own words, in his own teaching, how the resurrection empowers us to drink deep. And here's how, by dropping the sticks. This is the aspect of the resurrection I want us to notice this morning. That the resurrection drops the sticks so that we are free to drink deep. Now, stakes, it's a gambling concept. The idea is the value that you have to hazard in order to be in the game. Right? Or what you risk losing if you lose the bet. And so my argument today is that the resurrection drops the stakes right out of the game. So how does the resurrection empower us to drink deep? By dropping the stakes. Well, let's have a look at John. John's Gospel, chapter 11, please. We'll focus here for the rest of our time this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 11. You're familiar with the situation. Lazarus has died. And Martha is playing the if only game. John 11, we'll start in verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And I want to close this morning by just looking briefly at these words, particularly in verse 25 and 26. See, Martha has just said that she believes in the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. In other words, to believe in that is to believe in me, because I'm the one who's going to do that. Right? Jesus is the one with the power to give us the resurrection. In the last day, it's Jesus who's going to be calling the shots. He says, I am the resurrection. And then he goes on to spell it out. And follow this carefully. There are two scenarios that are spelled out here in verse 25 and verse 26. The first one is someone who, though he die, yet shall he live. And the second one is someone who lives and shall never die. So, without delving too far into the mechanics of it, I'll tell you how I understand this text. The first scenario is talking about the physical realm. Though he die, yet shall he live. We will be physically resurrected. The second scenario is talking about the spiritual realm. In other words, whoever dies physically, believing in Jesus, will follow Jesus in the resurrection of the body, the physical body. And secondly, whoever is given life, eternal life, through believing in Jesus, their body may die, but they will never die. Hear the words of Jesus in John 5:24. Whoever hears my word, hears and believes him who sent me, has eternal life. Not will have, has. Currently has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He's not afraid of what will happen the moment his body dies, but has passed from death to life. He has spiritual life, and so when his body dies, he's still alive. He doesn't die. We see this in Genesis. If you sin, you will surely die. What does he do? He sins, and his body does not die. He didn't die. Yes, he did. This is the exact inverse. He says, if you have life, you will never die. You say, but he died. No, he didn't. Our body will die, but we will live on. So here it is. Here's why the stakes are low now. Here's why we don't have to survive. Two things that Jesus has told us here. Number one, because in the cross, Jesus conquered spiritual death. When our body dies, we live on. We do not enter condemnation from God, but we enter friendship with God. We join Jesus at the right hand of God as his brother. And secondly, because in the resurrection, Jesus triumphed over physical death. So when our body dies, we can be absolutely confident that someday it will rise again, be reunited with us, and we will see the Lord in our body. Here's what Jesus said. Have a look again at John 11, verse 25. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's bodily resurrection. He did die, but he's going to live. And verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's spiritual life. You already have spiritual life, and so you will never die. And that's it. We are now free to die and die well. The stakes have been ripped out of the game. We know that physically we may die, but we will rise like Jesus rose, and spiritually we will never die, so death can't hurt us. At least not much. The cup that God gives, drink it. Drink it deep. Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt. Every situation you believe to be the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you raised up Jesus from the dead. In doing so, you placed the final stamp of approval on all that he was and all that he did. Death was finally and fully conquered, both the physical death of the body and the spiritual death of the soul. So that we have hope not just of eternal life with you, but we have hope of a resurrection of the body. That we will actually, really, physically be with you. That even though sin has made living in our bodies here painful and hard, that in that day we will live in our bodies and it will not be painful or hard, it will be good. Our bodies will do what they were made to do. They will empower our worship and our joy and our celebration. We thank you for the hope that you give to us, the death, particularly the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.